Packers Warehouse.com Roadshow, live from AT&T Stadium in Arlington. This is The Blitz, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The University of Houston goes in and beats Cincinnati. It was one of those games, if you just saw the score, you'd say, oh yeah, UH romped. If you watched the game, you were sweating it early in the fourth quarter. UH was just a lot better than this team. They were turning the ball over, which is not something a Tom Herman team does.
For those college football playoff voters and committee, if they didn't watch the Houston game and they look at that score, they'll say, oh, okay, they won that easily.
Couple things on the Rex Ryan deal. There's a story where he's claiming that it was his decision, but that the owners made him do it. There's some thought, I guess, that the owners wanted to do this in the off season and decided to wait until now. It's just a very strange time to do it.
It sure is. Week two.
I thought they had enough offense last night. The defense is the problem, especially in the secondary where they're supposed to be pretty good. They look terrible.
Here's Fred Fowler, and in for AJ Hoffman, here's Mike Pearson.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three. 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at Radio Mike P3, at Jong Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed anything that you just heard or any of the other great stuff that's been happening today, all available at podcastarena.com. All right, so we're going to be interview heavy here for the next few segments because Michael caught up with several really big names in the boxing business. And because of the way we were set up, we could only one person at a time do the interview. So you're going to get to hear my man Mike's interview skills here. So,
yeah. And you were playing security guard, too, trying to throw people out of the building that weren't supposed to be here. So,
well, yeah, me and Waddles. All right, let's start it off because, first off, we talked to Andre Ward earlier, and now we're going to talk to the guy who he's facing in what should be fight of the year, and that's Sergey Kovalev.
All right, man. Well, we got the man of November, the one that's going to battle it out with Andre Ward. Finally, these guys get together. How you been doing?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Good, good, good. So I know you're looking forward to this fight, man. And I've seen in the news that you're saying, hey, do I have to prove that to knock him out that I'm the crusher?
Yeah, it should be like... I should do this because my nickname Crusher, and yes, I should to improve this.
Yeah, how do you prepare for a fight like this? This is a huge fight. We know that you can battle. We know that you've been through a lot of good fights, man. I mean, how is this one different from the other ones?
Nothing different, like, because all my past preparations gave me success, you know, and I should to. Repeat my prepare for my next fight, you know, it's just more focused and concentrated for this fight, yes, and follow for my dream.
Yeah, you know, I know this is huge for you, your family, your career, but also for your country too, right?
What do you mean?
What I'm saying, as far as a lot of people support you.
Oh, yeah.
So to
oh, yeah,
they,
yeah.
They
want.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from AT&T Stadium in Arlington. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler, and in for AJ Hoffman, here's Mike Pearson.
All right, we're back on The Blitz. This is Mike Pearson, and I'm sitting with a Hall of Famer. Yes, a true Hall of Famer. And rapping, too. And rapping, too. Roy Jones Jr., how you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing good, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man, doing well. I mean, we're all here for Canelo Smith, and some people would think it's a cakewalk for Canelo.
It's not a cakewalk for Canelo by no means, because these two guys are somewhat the same. I mean, they're a mirror image of one another. It's just that Canelo has more experience than Leon Smith, but that doesn't mean anything. So it's not a cakewalk by no means, and I think it's actually a really good fight, because now Canelo will have to adjust to fighting someone who fights a similar style to what he fights.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so you've been on that stage, but you're from the United States. But a guy like Leon Beefy Smith, who's fighting Canelo on Saturday, he hasn't fought in the States yet. And his first fights are under the bright lights, but this is maximized in Jerry Jones' world. But you've been in an opportunity in the past where it was new to you on the bright lights. How should he handle it?
Well, you got to choose just like it's any other night. I mean, it is a big night, the biggest night of his career, but at the same time, the bigger the stage, the bigger the outcome, the bigger the upset could be. So when you get that big stage and you get the opportunity to come show yourself, it's like when I fought James Toney. I had the big stage of the MGM, my first time having a stage that big, but it gave me a great platform to show what God could do through me. And this is what Leon Smith has. He has a beautiful platform that Canelo has given him to show what he really can do. So either he'll show what he can do, or he'll allow Canelo to show what he can do better.
You've touched the highest as far as boxing. You've done music. Now you're training younger boxers. But your broadcasting skills are absolutely amazing, man. For you to make that transition, what do you contribute that to? Just on how it's been smooth for you and to be so entertaining for us people watching in.
I contribute that to God, God above, like I contribute everything else. And the fact that I was taught the way God brought me up and made me learn the game, I was taught the game so well that when I now articulate what's really happening, I understand it. So I can tell you what's really happening before most people can, because I know the game so well. And when I was boxing at my peak, I always was ahead of my opponents. Mm-hmm. So because I'm so used to being ahead of things, I can kind of analyze ahead what's going to happen and tell it to you before it really happens that way. And then it plays out just like I say most of the time. Sometimes I'm wrong because I'm not God. I mean, I'm not perfect. But at the same time, there are a lot of instances to where things happen a certain way, and I can tell you what's coming after that because I know from experience and understand the game exactly what's going to happen.
Let's just say, let's move forward ahead here. Let's say Canelo wins on Saturday, and what everybody's talking about is you already know what's coming in Triple G versus Canelo. I know it's a good matchup. I believe it's a good matchup. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, that's a great matchup, but at the same time, we got to wait till Canelo's team decides they want to fight. Canelo, we know, wants to fight, but Canelo is a guy who's very disciplined to his team, and he said he will not do anything until his team does. So when his team is ready, he'll do it. If his team is not ready, he won't do it. So.
Yeah, I just think this fight has to happen. I think Mayweather and Pacquiao was overdue. They still made a lot of money from it. So I can see, you know, Oscar's a smart guy now, and Golden Boy has grown. Let's talk about Oscar, but Golden Boy, and you've been around the game for a long time, and just to see how he's grown as a promoter.
Yeah, he's grown tremendously as a promoter. He's done a really good job of giving some guys some really good opportunities and developing some really good fighters. I think Oscar has done a superb job as being a promoter, and I just wish him the best of luck and continued success in what he's doing.
I think being a teacher, what you are now, and teaching younger boxers, that's something that you don't really just grab on later. You've always been that way, I'm sure. That's just something inside you.
I mean, it's just something inside of you. When God gives it to you, you want to pass it on. If you don't teach people what God has given you to teach them, then you're not doing what God wants you to do with it.
Understandable. Last but not least, I got to talk about the Kaepernick situation.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that? And I know a lot of people have different thoughts on it, but we're all Americans, so somebody should have a thought on it.
Well, let's just not think about him. Let's put him and the soccer girl in the same sentence because they're both doing the same thing.
On Rapinoe, yeah.
Exactly. So with them doing the same thing and them being from two different walks of life, it tells you that they are obviously addressing issues that they feel need to be addressed. Not that they are right, not that they're wrong, but they are trying to bring attention to situations that need attention brought to them. And the fact that they're doing it through their particular sports is a big thing, but they are getting the attention on the topics that they're trying to get the attention on. So you can't be against them. At the same time, you know, I'm a guy who, I've been all over the world. So when you go from place to place in the world, you do try to respect everybody's anthem, and you know, we want people to respect our anthem too. So I do understand both sides of the situation. You want people to respect the anthem, yet at the same time, because they're public world figures right now, they want to bring attention to different situations by kind of respecting it, but showing a little bit of not of unhappiness in that, because they want you to say, yeah, we understand that, we do respect it, but we're unhappy about how some of our fellow citizens are being treated. So they are bringing great attention to a great situation that needs it. Yet sometimes we think there are other ways to do it, but people do listen when you do it the way that they are doing it. So you can't say whether they're right or wrong. You just have to say that, you know, I thank God that they are getting what they're supposed to get out of it, which is attention to a situation that definitely needs attention.
I think I'm going to end it on that note. Roy Jones Jr., we'll be back. This is a Blitz. Fred Fowler, Michael Pearson.
Please stand by. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from AT&T Stadium in Arlington. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler, and in for A.J. Hoffman, here's Mike Pearson.
All right, we're back with Blitz, and I can call him a friend. I've been knowing him for a while. He calls me friend, and I'm sitting here with the best play-by-play, blow-by-blow, announcer, analyst, expert, boxing, Jim Lampley.
Talking dog.
How are you? So, basketball season's not in, so college basketball, we don't have to talk about North Carolina.
We don't have to talk about anything
other than especially that upset in North Carolina. That was, I know that leaves a bad taste. I was here in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, and USC got slammed by Alabama. I left in the third quarter, headed back to Houston. So we don't have to talk about that. We're here to talk boxing.
Yep.
Canelo versus Liam Beefy Smith. What do you think?
Well, I think what's interesting to me is that they're very similar in style and approach. In fact, if you were looking for a fighter in the 154 or 160-pound weight class whose CompuBox numbers are the same as Canelo's, that's Liam Smith. And I think that both of them are more defensively oriented than the public realizes. This is not necessarily going to be a firefight. I think it's a tactical fight. Mm. It'll be a fight won by whoever makes the least mistakes and makes the best adjustments throughout the fight, and you have to give Canelo a tremendous advantage in that regard because he's had 49 fights. And there, you know, there's nobody else that I know of on the planet who's a competent prize fighter, is 26 years old, who's already had 49 fights. It's a unique asset for him, and he's not beaten down. He's well protected, partially because he's a very skilled defender, and I think Liam Smith is a skilled defender too. They both are more likely to hurt you to the body than to the head. Although, you know, Canelo has had spectacular knockouts in two of his last three fights with that same combination, throwaway jab, right hand across the top. If there's one thing that I assure you isn't likely to happen to Liam Smith tomorrow night, he's not likely to fall for the throwaway jab. You know, that combination probably isn't going to work the same way it worked against Khan and Kirkland, because these are smart fighters who are really trained well. So I expect a fight that goes some distance. I expect to see them in the late rounds. I think that Canelo will probably be in control of the fight, but it wouldn't surprise me if this fight looks a great deal like the Canelo Alvarez Miguel Cotto fight, where Canelo simply defended better and had more options in the late rounds because he's a bigger hitter. I think it's the same thing tomorrow night.
Well, Canelo is special to me. I love this guy. I love his heart. I love his passion. I love the way he loves Texas and his fans, and he fights in Houston, fights in San Antonio, demands to fight at AT&T, whatever the case may be. When I watched him fight Mayweather, and he lost that, and I know there are no moral wins for athletes, but I said, you know what? I don't really see him losing to anyone else anytime soon after that.
Well, everybody thinks that he made a style mistake against Mayweather, that he should have fought more aggressively and tries to use his size and strength more. He's very smart, and as he said to me today, it's not that simple. There's more to it than that. There's a complexity in fighting Floyd, which I really wasn't ready for at that moment, but now I have that education. And, you know, and I think that that is indeed an asset to him. And Yeah, I think he, among other things, he proved his poise that night. He wasn't in any way overwhelmed by the event. And, you know, you go the distance, lose a clear decision to Floyd Mayweather, that's no shame for anybody. So, you know, you put that together with, again, the other 48 fights, the amount of experience that he's had already at age 26. He is a finished product, extremely well-schooled. We've never seen any other fighter who was trained by those two guys, Eddie and Chepo, but we've seen what they've done with him, and it's world-class work. And by the way, to going to your other point, he's a great person. You know, he's irresistible in terms of his class, his dignity, his friendliness, his legitimate desire to service the audience, even though he's getting hammered right now for not doing so. I think that's obviously more the call of the promoter than the fighter.
You mentioned the promoter, and you've watched Oscar fight, and you're watching Oscar promote. I've seen his promotion with Golden Boy just grow.
Any chance that we had to see Canelo GGG this fall, I believe, went away when Luis Ortiz chose to leave Golden Boy. Because without a contender for the legitimate heavyweight crown, which Ortiz was, Oscar doesn't have another moneymaker anywhere near on the same level as Canelo Alvarez. So he has to be careful with his primary product, his bell cow, his number one money-making fighter, and he's being careful with him. Oscar and Canelo are gambling that once they actually sign a contract and decide to fight GGG, then the public will be motivated, excited, and thrilled by the fight. As turned out to be the case, by the way, for Mayweather-Pacquiao, after 6 years of phony war and deliberations that some people felt had taken the bloom off of that rose, the audience nevertheless turned out for the fight. Unfortunately, that turned out to be a negative rather than a positive.
Right.
I don't think that Canelo versus GGG fits that profile. This is a fight that everybody wants to see for all of the right reasons. There will be fire. There will be contact. Mm. There will be a test of manhood in the ring that night.
Wow. So Triple G, of course, fought last week. You were there. Brooke's corner threw the towel, waved the towel, did all of that. Of course, watching this fighter of theirs, which is like a son since he was 9 years old, I believe. And we know some of that was involved, that emotion. And I'm watching it at home in Houston, in the living room, listening to and watching your play-by-play, thinking, what the heck is going on? Why did he call that?
And I think we were told that Brooke's orbital bone was broken in, quote, the second or the third round. I believe Golovkin broke that orbital bone in the first round. In fact, if you look at the first combination, it was a cracking left hook to the body, which badly hurt Brooke. You could see that. And Gennady followed that with a left hook upstairs that hit him right on the right eye. So I have a hunch that the right eye orbital bone was broken in round one. By round two, you could see that Brooke was pawing at it with his glove. And, oh, by the way, you know, he gets up on his horse and he fights a hell of a fight in the second, third, and fourth rounds. He's landing some shots. Is he landing some shots because he's a better boxer than anybody who has previously been in the ring with Triple G? Or is he landing some shots because Triple G has already tasted what he's got in the first round and says to himself, this is a welterweight puncher, he can't hurt me, and this would be a good time to allow people to see me get hit so that I can try to get some of these other guys into the ring? You don't know which it was. It was by far Gennady's least artistic performance since we've been watching him. I think he was disgusted to be fighting a welterweight after he had denigrated Canelo for fighting a welterweight.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, either there was a picture there of where Gennady's shortcomings are and how endangered he might be by the greater precision of Canelo Alvarez, or there was a sales pitch there which said, stop waiting, get into the ring with me, look at this, you can hit my chin.
You're buying that.
I think it's quite possible. I mean, the way he did it against Willie Monroe, and then he did it again against Dominic Wade, where he just sort of drops his hands and looks at them, that's a sales pitch. No question in my mind.
That's definitely. So let's get to Canelo's opponent, Leon Beefy Smith. First fight in the United States. And we say, well, this is a bright light. But you're at Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium. What a huge amount of pressure for him.
Well, he comes from a fighting family. He's one of four brothers who all fight as professionals, and all of them are to some degree or another succeeding. By the way, there are only six families in the history of boxing where you can find four different offspring who have performed creditably as professional fighters, and two of those families are the Alvarezes and the Smiths. So, you know, there's a certain piece of history here tomorrow night in terms of family against family. And, you know, I'm sure Beefy Smith is going to tell us that none of the surroundings and the size of the crowd and the environment will bother him, but it's all new. You know, it's not something that he has experienced before, and you have to see that as another big advantage for Canelo Alvarez.
Thank you very much. The legendary Jim Lampe. We'll be back. This is a Blitz. Fred Fowler, Michael Pearson.
Hey guys, I got to tell you about my friends at Blue Apron. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. And when you get it from Blue Apron, you're getting great quality, you're getting fantastic food, and you're getting it for less than $10 a meal. They deliver seasonal recipes, pre-portioned ingredients, everything, whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best. You can customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Choose the delivery options that best fit your needs. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. And each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. And it's so easy, even I can do it. I don't because I'm lazy. My wife does it. But even I can do it. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FredF. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/FredF. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
In you, just as far as I can go.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
And we are back on the Blitz. Are you tired of your puppy ruling the roost? And you're looking for a little help turning your beast into a sidekick? Man's Best Friend is your answer. We're giving away a $250 gift card to Man's Best Friend to help you turn your monster into a companion. Log on to ESPN975.com to enter for your chance to win. Offering obedience training, protection training, doggy daycare, and boarding, Man's Best Friend is your answer because they know Fido isn't just any other friend. Or whatever your dog's name is. I'm guessing it's not Fido, but that's all right.
Mine is DJ.
Okay, so DJ. You want to win a $250 gift certificate for DJ, you can do it. So, man, been a fun couple of days here at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, and had some fun interviews. It's been a blast. One last thought from you on how you think this fight's going to go, because and talking to people, it seems like they give Smith a chance. I really don't, but what do you think?
I don't give him a chance either. I just think Canelo is too good right now. He's in his prime, and I think that's an understatement. I just thought after Canelo fought Mayweather, I think it would be hard for anybody to beat Canelo right now. This is a Canelo display, a Canelo celebration, along with the Mexican Independence Weekend. So I don't think it'll be close. I know Liam will be more tactical to try to prevent Canelo from knocking him out early, but I just think Canelo will outbox him.
And I kind of think if you're going to duck Golovkin, you're not going to do it for somebody you can't beat.
Right.
It's that simple. So I think Canelo wins the fight. And it'll be interesting because, again, this is a very great stage for it. I'd be curious to see how the buys are. I'd be curious to see what the crowd is. But just judging from some of the things that's happened around here from the weigh-in and from people sneaking into the media area, I think it's going to be pretty nuts. All right. And that was pretty stupid. So that leads us perfectly into stupid stuff we said this week.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Do one more. Jace.
Sports.
Sports, man.
Hey, what do you guys think about the Seattle matchup this Sunday? I'm really thinking about the win.
Oh, boy. I'd love to talk to you, but that's an awful phone connection there.
That is, yeah. It sounded like you were disappearing from the planet. There you go. That's your top 10.
Barry Laminack reminds me that we had world-famous comedian Barry Laminack on.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
He's like the white Carlos Mencia, though. I don't think he even writes those jokes himself.
Let's try Nick. What's up, Nick? Go ahead, Nick.
Sports Nick.
Okay. Yep.
All right, Nick. Cool.
Yeah, that was really good.
Struggling today with the phone calls, I feel.
We're kind of struggling across the board. If you haven't heard, we're the new home of Texas A&M football.
Sports!
This is Dave South, there. Voice of the Aggies.
How was that?
Sports!
That was good. Yeah, that was good. He goes a little slower in his words, though.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll work on it.
The show just flew by. That
the
was fun.
The Q Dim Show.
Yeah.
Q Show. Well, hopefully this isn't the last time we do the Q Dim Show. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You're an interesting dude. I think that it's way easier to talk to you than it was some of our past Texans players.
No.
No.
Not going to mention any names.
I won't mention any DJ Swearinger's names.
No, don't say names.
But my goodness.
It's a Tuesday. It's raining out there. What? Why is your mic not on? Oh. Yeah, that's your mic there. There we go. We're off to a wonderful start.
Son of a... Dustin says we need some dust in the wind for Jonathan. Jonathan the Lion, who died at the zoo today, at the Houston Zoo.
Oh, no.
He died this morning, Fred. He passed away. So, dust in the wind, John, do we have that?
Hey, he's in there talking.
Is that only for humans, or can we...
What? John? Benny Hill music?
We'll have a good show, Glenn.
Yeah, they're going to be here for an hour. Man. Buddy, awesome. You were really nice to me today. No really off-color jokes.
None.
Not messing with my niece. No, none of that
she's
stuff.
Not pregnant yet, is she?
You know, your fan base is going to be...
is she pregnant yet?
No, the plan is to have kids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You've been good now. Don't ruin it.
Not a lot of women have felt Jeter without a condom.
See, I thought you were going to be nice.
Not many have. Your niece is amongst the few.
You will not hear from me anymore. I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
All right. So, as always, no shortage of stupid stuff. So, let's turn our attention to some games this weekend real quickly. Your thoughts, Texans, Chiefs. How does that one come out?
I think the Texans come out on top. I think the home field advantage that really doesn't mean a lot in the NFL sometimes, but I think the Texans, it's their time. I just think they're clicking right now. Brock will look a lot better than he did last week. I think the Texans win it.
And of the top three teams going on the road playing ranked teams in college football, who do you think is most likely to lose, Ohio State, Florida State, or Alabama?
I think Florida State is most likely to lose. I'm still not convinced. I know they are a great second-half team, but if Louisville gets up, let's say by four touchdowns in the first half, it's going to be a long road to try to recover in the second half. I think Florida State is most likely to lose on the road.
I tend to agree, but I also think the one thing about Louisville is when he can use the run to set up the pass, they're so much better. If he has to start passing to bring that team from behind, I think Florida State's going to feast on him. But
right.
We'll see. Should be fun. All right, that is going to wrap it up from beautiful AT&T Stadium in Dallas. I want to thank John Lee back in studio, doing a great job as always. Michael Pearson, thank you so much for filling in for A.J. Hoffman. And hopefully in a few minutes, A.J. will be kicking the crap out of that dude and leaving body parts all over the place.
Yep.
All right. I did okay today. I'm not going to give myself a grade, though. But hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Get out and do something fun this weekend. Enjoy your football, whatever it is you do. And have some fun, man. Enjoy life. Drink some great beer. We will be back here on Monday. Well, not here. We'll be back in studio on Monday doing the Blitz as always. AJ will be back with another victory under his belt. And we will talk to you then. Until then, stay sports, you bitches.
ESPN 97.5.